Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you come to give Him glory tonight? Amen. And everything we do and say, we want Him to be glorified. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. It's good to be with you. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. And we've missed quite a few services this summer. It's just been kind of that way, but it's always good to come back. Amen. And be in fellowship once again. And I'm just ready for the heat to leave. I got one amen anyway. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Doug is under the weather tonight, so we just want to be lifting him up in prayer and just that the Lord would restore strength and health to his body. Amen. And I know you all had good services on Sunday. Amen. We had a little camp out service. We kind of went camping with some of the folks from the Cottonwood Church up there in Arizona, northern Arizona, and had a little service, preached a service for them Sunday morning, and just a real nice time in the Lord and nice fellowship. So, but as I said, it's good to be back. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, while you're standing, if we could just open our Bibles tonight, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll read a portion of Scripture here. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Hebrews chapter 12 in the King James, and then I'd also like to read it just in the Amplified. The Amplified, for those that haven't read it, it basically just takes the words that, especially in the New Testament, and it kind of interjects the definition or the meaning of those words. So it gives us a little bit. You can look up the words individually if you want, but it just kind of puts it all in there for us. And in some cases, and I think this is one of them, it gives us a real nice understanding of the Scripture. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. And then let's just look at it in the Amplified here tonight. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who, for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and completion of his work." Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this evening for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful once again that we can gather together, Lord. Amen. Lord, under the shed blood of our precious Lamb, Lord, that's how we approach you tonight, Lord. Not with our own righteousness, Lord, not with any works that we've done, but only under the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we're looking to you tonight, Lord, as the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, that you would speak to us, Father, that you would guide us, and that you would, Lord, feed us from your word tonight, that you would bless your people, Father, with a word fitly spoken in due season, something, Lord, that would help us in our journey, Lord. Lord, for we know the time is short. Lord, we may not be guaranteed even another day, Lord. So we want to redeem the time. Lord, we want to take advantage of the opportunity that we have tonight. Amen. Lord, to receive and hear from you, Lord. And that's what we desire, Father, and we're asking that you have your way tonight. Amen. We pray for our pastor, Lord, who's at home recovering from an illness. Lord, I pray that you would just be with him, Lord. And touch his body, Father, and give him strength. Amen. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. So we want to key in this evening just looking at this scripture where Paul tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. There's a lot that we could go into in those two verses of scripture, but we just want to focus in on that second verse. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Now we know our God is a great creator. Amen. He is the original creator. And he's the father of all. He's the father of life. Amen. And you know, it's amazing to me when we look around, it seems like it gets to a greater degree all the time, but humanity and mankind reflects the fact that man was created and to be a small creator. Amen. The creativity of people is amazing sometimes. You know, things that they can think of in their minds and bring to life either, you know, by writing or painting or building or whatever it may be. Even music and poetry, and the list goes on and on of the creativity, even just solving problems. Amen. It's showing that we are made in the image of our Father. And He is a creator. Amen. And so we are creators as well. And Brother Branham said that we are creators of atmospheres as well. Amen. We are made to create. We are made to create an atmosphere of faith in our own lives and around us. But that creativity, it has such variety, and you know, it is amazing to me. But it is only because it flows from the Creator. Amen. He is the author of life. And this is something that's hard for us to really wrap our heads around. Because as far as our experience is, there's always been life. But He's the one that made life. He's the one that thought up the idea of life. Amen? Before there was an idea of living things, He thought of it and created it. Amen? The one who had the original idea before there was a beginning. He had the idea of life and creation and making something into being that wasn't. Amen? The original one, the original concept, his thoughts of life and creation. And he was the only one who could bring those thoughts into manifestation. I was thinking how awful it would be to have so many thoughts of creativity and things that you would like to do and can't bring it into manifestation. How frustrating that would be. Amen? But not our God. He can do anything. Any thought that He has, anything that He wants to manifest, He can manifest it. Amen? Anything that He could think of. He could think of anything. And He thought of you. Right about now, I can see everybody's minds are just... Amen? He could think of anything. And He thought of you and me. We were in His thinking. Amen? Today, science, we know that science and technology advances so quickly. Amen? That they're doing this, and it seems like every day some new thing is coming out that science is doing and technology, and it's accelerating and accelerating. The Bible says that knowledge would increase and increase and increase and increase. And as it increases, it just seems to build and build and build. But even with all of that, all they're doing is discovering what God has already thought of, what He has already thought and created. Amen? I like there's, you know, a little joke that you've probably heard, you know, before, where scientists have gotten so proud of themselves and they say, we can clone humans and we can grow body parts and we can splice DNA and we can do everything that God can do. And the joke goes that the scientist challenged God and said, we can make a human just like you. He said, and God said, all right, let's do it. Let's see you do it. And the scientist reached down to grab some dirt, and God said, get your own dirt. Right? Everything that He created, matter. He created atoms and molecules. He created the laws of physics. Everything that science deals with, He already thought of it and created it. Amen. Even Satan, who is so proud and lifted up, God made him. He wouldn't be in existence if God hadn't created him. And yet he's so proud. And so humans get so proud. Men get so proud and lifted up. And they try to take the place of God. They try to usurp the authority of the Holy Ghost in the church. They try to lead God's church when the Holy Spirit should be the one leading. They get so lifted up. Amen? Just like Satan. But Satan wouldn't even exist if God hadn't created him. Amen. This is from the message, The Masterpiece. Brother Brown says, let us turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. So he's been talking about Michelangelo and the great sculptor and the great creativity. He says, let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundations were laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. And he wanted to make man in his own image. And he wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision to him, what was in his thinking. Now to Michelangelo, that was an attribute of his thought. And God wanted to make a man after his image, the great sculptor, and he went to work on him. So Michelangelo, being a great sculptor, is just a portion of what God was in the beginning. We notice, as he brought up from the materials, first perhaps was the fishes, then the birds and the creeping things on the earth, the many things that he brought. But finally, as he brewed, being creator, he wasn't like a man now. A sculptor has to take something that's been created and create a new image. But he was the sculptor of eternal things. Amen. He was a sculptor that could create and bring into existence that which he had in his mind to do or otherwise. He can make material of what his attributes desired. Amen. Amen. A creator. The originator. Amen. So we're talking tonight about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? An author or a creator is one that has an original idea. Amen? And when an author begins to tell a story, and this is the greatest story that's ever been told, the story of redemption, the story of God with his family and his fallen family and redeeming his fallen family and restoring them. It's the greatest love story that's ever been in existence. And the author of the story gets to decide how the story goes. Nobody gets to tell him, you can't do it this way or this is wrong. He's the author. He gets to decide. He gets to decide who plays every role in his story. Amen? Someone can't come along later and decide, well, I don't like this story. Well, it's too bad. You're not the author. Amen? You try and change it, it becomes something different. It's not the original. That's why we want to stay with the original story. Amen? Amen? The original word. Amen? The enemy would try and tell you a different narrative or spin a different thought than the one that's been delivered in the original. Amen? Amen. But thank God we have His Word. Amen. Thank God that Word has been revealed to us. Amen. Thank God He gave us the best thing that He could. Yes. And that is His Word. Amen? No matter what man or what devil will try to spin God's Word, we have the original. Amen. We can go back to it. Amen? We can hear and read exactly what's God's thinking on the matter. Hallelujah. Thank God for the original. Amen? That's our foundation. That is the story. If there's a question, you look at the script. Amen? What the author said about it. So we live in a time, you know, now where, as I was saying, creativity is, it's expanded in new ways because, you know, we have things like the internet and computers and different ways to communicate. And so I suppose people have always been creative, but now they can be creative in just so many different ways and spread that around, no matter how dumb it is. People do some pretty dumb things on the internet. Creative ways to do stupid things. You're like, I would have never thought of that. You know it's true. Amen. But we live in a time where fiction has expanded. You know, it used to be that they would just write maybe an author would write a book, and maybe if the book was good or people enjoyed it, maybe they'd write a sequel or, you know, maybe a trilogy or something like that. You know, I remember a time when if somebody wrote a trilogy, that was a pretty big deal, right? But now it's like, no, they write a book, and then they got to write a whole series of books, and then they got to have the movie, or it's the other way around. They have the movies, and then the book deals, and then the comic books, and the TV, and the streaming, and then the merchandise, and T-shirts, and toys, and it gets in McDonald's Happy Meals, right? Spinoffs. Amen? But it shows you that in that, there was an originator for those ideas, even as those expand, right? And we all can think of those, right? We've all seen those. If you're, depending on what generation you're from, you have a bit different ones in mind. But y'all know what I'm talking about. But each and every one of those can come back to an original source. They come back to an original author. Amen. If you look at things like the Star Wars franchise, I don't know, it's probably one of the biggest money-making franchises in the world, I guess. I don't know how many movies and things and toys. And I mean, it's since the 70s it's been around, right? And it's still going. They're still doing things. Well, it all started with one guy. One guy with a crazy idea. Right? And for a long time, George Lucas was the authoritative author of everything Star Wars. If somebody wanted to write a book or to do a comic or whatever, they had to come back to him and make sure it was okay. Now, eventually he sold that off, and I don't know, he's probably a gazillionaire because he sold the rights to it and somebody else has it now, and they make those decisions. Right? But for a time, that author had total say over everything that happened in the little universe that he created in his mind. And I think it's amazing that this one guy, sometime back in the 70s, had this crazy idea with all these little crazy creatures. Right? And today, there are still kids that are living in this world that he created. Shows you the power of that creativity. Right? But it's just a type, a small shadow of the original author. Amen. Amen? And if you want to know something about that universe, you talk to him. Amen. I mean, it's just amazing. If somebody wanted to, you know, add a new character or something, you can't add. You can't add to it. You got to ask him if you can do it. All right? You can't just go do it. You'll get sued. Yet people add to God's word all the time. Amen? Or they try and change. They try to present a different Jesus. Right? A different version of the gospel or their own idea of God. Amen? They come up with their own story. Well, I think that everybody goes to heaven, or I think there is no heaven, or I think that this, and I think that, and well, you guess what? That's nice. You don't get to think about that. You can think about it all you want, but it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change the fact that the author has already established the story. The author has the final say over authority over the entire work. That's where we get authority. That's where that word comes from. Authoritative. Authority. It's from the author. The one that it came from. The originator of it. Amen? And you know, a lot of times, so we talked about fiction, now let's talk about sports. In sports, there's big money in sports too. And one of the things that they have in sports, one of the ways that they make money is by selling merchandise. I remember going to baseball games when I was younger. I remember as a kid, I went to a lot of Major League Baseball games. Parents, or my grandparents, you know, family, we're big into sports, and so we got to go to a lot of those. And I remember a game where I went to, and you could go into the stadium and you could buy a baseball cap, right, from whoever was playing. And it was so much money, very expensive. And you could go out on the street and buy a hat that looked exactly the same for less than half the price, like a quarter of the price. But guess what? The one on the street was what they call a knockoff. Right? It was an imitation. It wasn't the authentic merchandise. It wasn't exactly the same. I doubt the one they were selling were exactly the same as what the players wore. But at least the team and the league, they put their stamp on it. And they said, yes, this is an authentic baseball cap from this team. And guess what? You paid dearly for it. They charged you a lot of money to have that little stamp of whatever, right? The authentic version. Why? Because they own the rights to it. They could control who, well, they didn't do a very good job of control. They would actually go after those people. They would be on the streets out in front of the stadiums, and the security would try and kick them out, but then they just end up in the parking lot. You could get a hold of one if you wanted it, right? But what they were doing, they weren't supposed to be doing. We serve the author of life. The author of life. The authority for all creation, all living. Amen? He has the final say over everything in his universe that he has created. Amen? Everything. And everything that he says is correct. Everything that he says is final. And that's the way it is. Anything that deviates from his will concerning anything in his creation is what we call sin. That's all it is. It's a deviation from what he put in place. Right? So he writes the original thought, the original story. Anything that deviates from that or goes against it, that's what we call sin. Right? I mean, isn't that what disobeying the word is? I mean, you think about God put in place marriage. He established marriage. He established marriage, man, woman. In the beginning, that's the way it was. He established it. That's the way he wanted it. So anything that deviates from that is sin. Right? I mean, it's pretty simple. Truth versus a lie. He is the truth. Everything that he says is truth, he is only truth. Anything outside of that or against that, that perverts that or changes it in any way, is a lie. All right, so these are just some examples. In that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Jesus is the author of our faith. The entire work of redemption, from start to finish, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Brother Branham says this in the Ephesian church age. He says, you will notice that Jesus is walking alone in the midst of his churches. There is no one else with him. He alone. No one else with him. Neither indeed can there be, for he alone wrought her salvation. And having purchased her with his own blood, he owns her. He owns her. Amen? If you've been bought with his blood, if you're under his blood, accepted his blood, have received him, he owns you tonight. And, you know, our carnal minds immediately go to the negative part. Well, wait a minute. That means the devil doesn't own you. Amen? The devil doesn't control you. You're under different ownership. While we were out in the world, the devil owned us. He could have his way with us. He could do whatever he wanted to us. But now, Christ owns us. He is her Lord and Master. She gives him all the glory. And that glory he will not share with another. There is no pope with him. There is no archbishop with him. Mary, the mother of his earthly body, is not with him. He does not speak and turn to a father, for he is the Father. He does not turn to give orders to a Holy Spirit, for he is God, eternal Spirit. And it is his life that is flowing and pulsating in the church, giving her life. And without him, there would be no life. Salvation is of the Lord. There was no one with him when he trod the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another but him who hung on the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. We are espoused to him and not another. So much for being married to the pastor. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. Creeds, dogmas, bylaws, constitutions have no effect on us. And I don't care if that creed or dogma came from the message. There's lots of message dogmas out there. He says, yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her willing and doing of his good pleasure. Never forget that. You have only one relationship to God, and God has only one relationship to you, and that is Jesus, and Jesus alone. Amen. So this was all his idea. This was all his thinking in the beginning. He knew that there would be a fall. He knew that there would need to be redemption. He knew that he was a savior. And the plan of redemption was started by him. Amen. He was the initiator of it. Right. Amen. Amen. Not one of us one day woke up and said, you know, I think I need saving, without God already thinking of it. He thought of it before the foundation of the world. He started in motion the plan of your redemption. Amen. He came to Abraham. not the other way around. Abraham was off worshiping idols, working in an idol shop, just doing his thing. And God came to him. God sought him out. Jesus was the author of Abraham's salvation. He started it. He found him. Yet Abraham was the father of our faith. Why? Because he accepted and believed the author of his faith. Amen? Abraham didn't come up with the idea, but he received the idea. Amen? When God made him a promise, he said, I believe. I accept that, Lord. I believe it. You've got a wonderful idea. I want to be part of that. I want to walk with you. I want to receive what your plan is for me. Amen. That's the father of our faith. He didn't come up with the idea. It's not something he was sat around and thought up one day. It was God's idea. Amen? God did the choosing. He chose Abraham out of all of those people. All the people in the world, he chose Abraham. You going to tell him that he chose wrong? Abraham probably wondered, why did he choose me? Why, out of all these people, did he come to me? I don't know, but I'm glad he did. Why did he choose me? Why did he choose you? I don't know, but I'm glad he did. The author did the choosing. Who's going to tell him he did the wrong thing? He's the one that had the idea in the beginning. We often hear the story how the king that Abraham deceived was righteous. He was acting better than Abraham. But yet God said, my elect has to pray for you. The one that lied to you. But I chose him. He's my elect. He chose Israel above all the other nations. They weren't better than any of them. But yet he chose them. It was his choosing. It was his thought. Amen? Oh, brother, sister. This is a powerful thought, if we can just get a hold of it tonight. When someone creates something, they do it the way they want to. Amen. You think about somebody who's painting their house. They're going to choose the colors that they like. Amen. They might ask for your opinion. But in the end, it doesn't matter what you think. Really matters is what they want. They're going to do what they want. It's their house. They're going to put the furniture in that they want. They're going to put the carpet. They're going to put on the wall what they want. It might be 180 degrees. You might never choose that. You might go in their house and think, how do they live here? It doesn't matter. Guess what? You don't live there. It's their house. They get to choose. This universe is God's. He gets to choose. Amen? He gets to choose what he wants his church to be like. He gets to choose who is his bride. Amen. That's why, you know, that idea of election and free will, we have to be careful with it. Right? Because God chooses. And it's his right to choose. He chooses what pleases him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. You say, I'm just a nothing. You run yourself down and run yourself down and you let the devil talk you down. But if God chose you, you're pleasing to him. Think about it. He chooses what pleases him. Amen. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Right? Talking about all the important parts of the body. We can't have one. We can't just have eyes. We can't just have ears. We have to have all of it. But look at this. He says, now hath God set members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. As it has pleased him. Amen. Amen. Why did God make certain people preachers? Because it was pleasing to him. It pleased him to call certain men to preach the gospel, to be pastors. Why did he call our pastor to be our pastor? Because that was pleasing to him. Why does he call certain people in the church to do certain things? Because that's what pleases him. Why does God, we could just go down the list. Why does God do this? Why does God do that? Because it's pleasing to him. Amen? Who are we to say that it's not right? Why did he choose me to hear his word? Why did he choose me to reveal his plan to you? Why did he choose me to reveal this end time message to? Because it pleased him. Hallelujah. Why did he put something in my heart to be able to hear from him? Faith to be able to receive, to hear his word. Why did he give me ears to hear and eyes to see? Because it pleased him. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. He's got a wonderful plan. He's got a wonderful, great plan. And brother, sister, this is a big work. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. One of the most amazing things about God is God is so big, but yet he can be so personal. Right? He can come down and be present in your life in such a personal way. He can meet you in your prayer closet and be such a close helper, such a comforter. Amen. He can be so real to you and revealing you and teaching you from his word. It can be so real and so personal that if somebody's not careful, they begin to think that they're special in a way that they're not. Now, we're rightly dividing this, right? You are special in terms of if he's chosen you and he's that close to you, that makes you special in his eyes. But that doesn't mean that there aren't others like you. Right? Because people he can be so personal that they begin to think, oh, well, I'm the only one. Right? And that's where we get this idea of, well, we've got it. And if you see churches where God is moving and in a powerful way, maybe there's a move or a revival in there. One of the ways that the devil gets in there and works is he begins to tell the lie that, oh, you guys have really got it. Right? And nobody else has got what you've got. Right? Brother Branham dealt with that in the tabernacle, where they were talking down about other churches, other sister churches, and they were saying things about him, and he stopped them. Right? He stopped it right there. Because they got the attitude of, well, we've got it and nobody else has got it. Amen? But this is a big work. It spans thousands of years and many, many thousands of people. Amen. Even just in the Gentile dispensation, it's hundreds and hundreds of years of the bride. So we can't be small-minded in this way. Amen. He has big thoughts and big plans. And sometimes they're so simple that we miss them. We don't have a monopoly on the truth. I don't believe that for a second. But we do have the truth. I do believe that. But we don't have the corner on it. We don't have the monopoly on it. You don't have to come to us to get the truth. Amen? God is a great big God. He's got a great big plan. He's the author of great things. I love that song, "There is room." Room at the cross for you. Amen? There's always room for one more. And that is what we're looking for. Just one more. Just one more. Just one more. Amen? Amen. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. We talked about what an author is, but what about a finisher? The finisher of our faith. This word finisher means perfecter, or to bring to perfection, or to bring to completion. That he that started it will bring it to completion. In Philippians 1:6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. The Bible is full of examples of God completing what he started. Amen. The heavens and earth were completed. Amen. Solomon built the temple and he finished it. I like that. Finished it, completed it, started it, finished it. Jesus told us a parable about counting the cost. And he said, look, you know, if a man is going to go build a house, and he's not able to finish it because he didn't ahead of time figure out all the materials and how much it was going to cost, and he didn't plan ahead. Right? We all know the parable. And we do that. But God doesn't. Amen? We have good intentions. We start and we don't finish. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm prone to that because I'm a generalist by nature and I get interested in different things. So I start something and then it sits because I got interested in something else. And then that sits when I get interested in something else. We start things and we have the best of intentions and we don't finish them. But God is not like that. Amen? Amen. I don't know if I'm the only one here. Maybe I'm the only one that starts things and doesn't finish them. But he will finish this work. Amen. He doesn't just start it and go, "Oh, I'm then get distracted by something else." He's focused. He's going to finish this work. Amen. Amen? He intends to finish our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Bible says that he is the sustainer of life. Amen? Being with us and in us to complete it. An example of this is our local body, this church. Do you believe that God started this church, this work? Amen. Well, if he started it, he's going to finish it. Amen. Right? So it's not just, we're not just talking about the great plan of redemption. We're talking about anything that God starts. He starts with a purpose, seeing the end already in mind. And he will finish it. Amen? When God leads us to do something, he will finish it. When he starts your healing, he will finish it. When he starts your salvation, he will finish it. He starts your deliverance, he will finish it. We must be convinced of that. And he will sustain it until it flourishes and it produces the fruit that he has envisioned for it. Amen. And it's totally futile to come against what God has done and established, what God has started. Amen. When he starts a church, why would you come against it? Even the Pharisees, they began to come against what God was doing in the early Christians, and the great leader Gamaliel said, look, let's just hold up. Right? We don't want to touch this lest we find ourselves fighting against God. If God has started this move, there's nothing we can do to stop it. And in fact, we don't want to stop it. When he starts a ministry, when he starts a work in a believer, who can come against it? Who can stop it? It's an immovable force that has started in motion. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? When he came to Saul on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? You're fighting against God. It's a losing battle. It's a losing proposition. Why are you persecuting me? He said. This is my work. This is me doing this. There's no way you can win except to join. Amen. He himself is the perfecter. As we read there in the Church Age book, it's he himself doing the work. Amen. He is the perfecter. In Revelation 3:14, it says, "Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write this, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." I just love the words, the titles here, the description of Jesus. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. The Amen is the so be it. The one that says this is the way it is. And this is how it will be. It is true. It is happening. Amen. His word we say amen. Because we say so be it. Be it unto me. He is the Amen. He is the one that says, I will do it. I will make sure it happens. The Amen. The completer. Amen. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. The one that has absolute first-hand knowledge. And understanding the witness, the actual person of authority. Amen. You know, in a court, you can call a witness. Right? And you might ask someone who was in, say an event happened, a crime or something. They would call a witness, somebody who saw it happen. Right? Somebody who has first-hand knowledge. But even that, somebody who saw it happen is different than the person it happened to. That's a true witness. Somebody who has experienced what they're talking about. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? You can say, well, I was there when so-and-so got the Holy Ghost. I saw it happen. I'm a witness. They got the Holy Ghost. But they are a greater witness because it happened to them. Amen? They are the true witness. In other words, there's no other authority to appeal to. There's no one else closer, no one else with more first-hand knowledge than that individual. He is the true witness. If you want to know something about his thoughts, ask him. Amen. You see, we as ministers are witnesses, and we as Christians are witnesses. We speak about him. We preach about him. We witness about him. We tell people about him. We tell people about his word, what he's done for us. We tell him about the power of God, how he's a living God. Amen. I hope we do. Amen. We're witnesses. We can testify. But then when they hear from him, he's the true witness. That's not to say we're false witnesses. Now, that word true, actually I was bringing this out in a different sermon, that word true doesn't mean true versus false. Brother Branham actually brings that out in the Church Age book. He says it's not that one is lying and one is telling the truth. That's not what that means, but he says it's the perfect fulfillment. It's a witness in its fullness, full manifestation in its fulfillment. We are partial witnesses, but he is the true witness. He's the one that can tell you everything about himself. When he speaks, everything else shuts up. Amen. So he's the true witness, the one that has absolute first-hand knowledge, the actual person of authority. If you want to know what I'm thinking, this is not a carnival game. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 100. If you want to know what I'm thinking, you could probably ask my wife and she might have a pretty good guess. But if you really want to know, what do? You ask me. Right? Now, somebody that knows me, like my wife, might be able to have a pretty good guess and be close enough to have a pretty good idea of what I'm thinking. But there's only one person in the world that can definitively tell you what I am thinking. And that's me. Amen. When he speaks, brother, sister, he's the final authority. This is why we have to have a relationship with him. This is why we can't just rely on what a preacher tells us, although we thank God for that. Or even what the prophet tells us. We must hear it from his own lips for ourselves. We must hear from him. Amen. Regarding our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Amen? Of my faith, of your faith. Amen. You have to say that. He's the author and finisher of my faith. I didn't call myself. I didn't start this work in me. He started it. He will finish it. It was his thinking. It was his idea. I have a personal knowledge because I've heard it from him. My own personal walk and faith. And we are born of the Spirit by the original. By the originator of life. Amen. And that's why I like to say, then you become an authorized Christian. Right. You have authority. You've been authorized by the author to speak on his behalf. You're the authorized version. You're not a knockoff being sold on the street. Amen. You're not a cheap Chinese imitation. You're an authentic, an authorized version of a Christian with the author's stamp of approval on you. Amen. Not a counterfeit, not something that looks like a Christian, but a real, genuine, authorized by the Master Christian. A living example. Brother Branham said a living monument. A living idol, even, he said. Amen? Which is just a representation of God. Yeah, that's what he said, right? You show what a real Christian is and what the author had in mind. when he thought of a Christian, when he thought of his offspring, when he thought of his children, you show what his thinking was. Amen. In the Revelation chapter 5 message, he says, now don't never vary from that word. Remember, I charge you before God, stay with that word. Don't you never vary from it. And if those things rise up amongst the people and things like that, there's a genuine every time you got a false. There's a bogus dollar that shows there was a good dollar it was made off of. And when you hear some hypocrite speaking in tongues, you can't say he's got the Holy Ghost, but remember, he's impersonating some genuine article that does have the gift of speaking in tongues. And when you see those things that's false, remember, they were made off of a real one. God is the originator of all good things, but Satan impersonates those gifts. Well, I get on that. We won't get to our lesson, will we? Amen. The real shows what God had in mind, what he was thinking. Amen. And the seal of the Holy Ghost shows that you've been authorized by him, that he has completed a work in your soul. There's still a work, a finishing of redemption to take place, but that the seal shows that there is a completed work. That your soul has passed from life into death. Sorry, death into life. How come you didn't catch that? Everybody awake out there? That your soul has already passed from death to life. That we are seated now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what that seal means. But he wants to complete and finish the work. There's a finishing up of redemption. There's a finish line for us. Amen? Brother, sister, we cannot get complacent. We cannot just get satisfied with where we are. There's a finishing work in this hour. Amen. Many said in this church, many raised their hands and said that they didn't have the Holy Ghost and that they wanted the Holy Ghost. Amen? This has been quite some time ago now. Many said that they needed the Holy Ghost. Have they given up? Uh-oh. Amen. We cannot give up. We cannot stop. He's the finisher of all three works of grace. He starts with justification and sanctification. We're baptized in water. Then we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got to press on into it. This is the age of lukewarm Laodicea. As a body, we have to do our part. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day, how I feel like it's incumbent upon those of us that are mature in the faith. We have to do a better job. We have to press in harder on behalf of those that are trying to press to a birth. Amen. It's our job to create an atmosphere. Amen. That's what God expects of us. It's our job as those that are mature in the faith and have received this Holy Ghost to create an atmosphere where more can be born into the family, where more can come into church and they don't have to be the ones to try and create an atmosphere and press through unbelief that all the mature ones brought with them. All the spirits that supposedly mature Christians are bringing with them into church and hindering the service. They shouldn't have to fight through that. They're trying to crucify their flesh and get born again. Amen? Us elders in the faith should be the one breaking the wind, as it were, right? Like the geese, you know, the geese, all they get in, they fly in a V formation. And they do that. They get a lead bird out in front because he's doing all the work. He's pressing through the atmosphere. Right. Amen. And then the ones that are behind him, it's easier for them. They can get in the slipstream and they don't have as hard of a time. But somebody has to do that. Right. It has to be those of us that have been baptized in the Spirit, are mature in the faith. Amen. That's all of our jobs. Amen. Right. Amen. To break through. On a Wednesday night, push away the tiredness. Amen. Amen? This is life and death. Amen. We're not playing around with things here. Amen? The time is almost over, brother, sister. We won't be here much longer. And there's coming a time very soon where the cutoff happens and there's no more grace. There will be no more pouring out of the Holy Ghost. The time of the Gentiles will be over. And then, you know, if people are like, oh, but I want the Holy Ghost. Sorry. The bride said, you go to those that buy and sell. You didn't get it when you have the opportunity. But let us that have it be the ones to make it easier. I'm afraid sometimes we're making it harder. We have low expectations. We come in and, man, we just barely drag in. Instead of being prayed up and expecting. I want to see people get born again. I want to see people breaking through. Amen. Brother Ram says, putting on the whole armor of God, he says, let him break the windows and walls of your creeds down and come in one at a time. All the superstitions and devils will fly. Things will change. We need no great intellectual giants. We just follow the chief. Amen. The chief come right down and took the word of God and broke right through it and said, here you are. He says, you know, I'm told that a jet plane, after it goes so fast, it gets to the sound barrier. And then it just has to quiver and shake until it gets through that sound barrier. And brother, sister, sometimes we get to a place like that in our walk. Sometimes we can get to that place when we're seeking the Holy Ghost. We feel like we're right up, right next to it. And there's a barrier there that we have to push through. Sometimes we come into church and we just come right up to it and we don't break all the way through. We come in our carnal thinking and we leave in our carnal thinking. And we never break through in the service. He says, a jet plane, it gets to the sound barrier and he says it has to quiver and shake until it gets through that barrier. In other words, it's cruising along fine and all of a sudden it's hitting that barrier and things are getting rough and it's getting shaken up, but it has to keep pressing through. Amen. He says, and after it gets through there, then she just runs free. And that's the way it is, brother. You just die out to everything. Amen. Till you get through that sin barrier. That's the unbelief. Get through that. And everything will run fine. When you take God at his word, you can shake every devil away from you and run free everything. Amen. Put on the whole armor. Amen. Yes, sir. The chief is leading. He's leading us home. Amen. Come on home. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again and be with you, even in you to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. A little while in the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. The chief leading on. Amen. 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 Press through, die out, be born again. Amen. Press through. Leave leave this old earthly existence for a little while. Press through into heavenly places. Hallelujah. But brother, sister, if he's drawn you this far, this is why I want to encourage you. He's drawn you this far. He's going to finish the work. Yes. Amen. Amen? Let him finish the work. Yes. Hallelujah. We are an age of finishers. Amen. That's what we are called to do. We're the finishers. The last age. The last generation of the last age. I believe the time is at hand. I believe he's coming soon. Amen. Lukewarmness has infiltrated the church on all sides. It comes in every way we can imagine. Finding every crack and corner and crevice that it can creep through. Amen. We have to press to the finish line. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. But brother, sister, we're like a thoroughbred horse. You know the thing about a thoroughbred horse or anything that is bred or has a pure bloodline? It knows where it came from. Amen? You can trace its lineage back. It knows you can trace back who its mother and father were and who their mothers and fathers were. And you can trace those bloodlines back generation after generation. Horses and many different kinds of animals. I think, you know, dogs, they register these breeds and they track the bloodlines. Amen? They're pedigreed. Their lineage goes back somewhere. Our lineage goes to the author. Amen. That's where we go back to. We can trace our lineage right back to the author of our faith. I know who my father is. Amen. We know what he's doing. We know who we are and what we're raised up for. And he's the leader of our faith. Hallelujah. He's the leader of our walk, of our talking, of our entire lives. He's the one that leads us. I've had the opportunity to lead many kinds of different animals. Put a halter on them or some sort of device to hold the animal, and you lead them. You walk in front of them. And if they try and walk in front of you, you give them a friendly tap. You tell them, no, you walk, I'm leading. Amen? But the ones that are really well-trained are the ones that are paying attention to you. They're not looking around. They're looking at the one that's leading them. And they're looking for cues. Is he going to take me this way? What does he want? What does he expect of me? That's what we should be doing. Looking to him. He's the leader of our faith. The author and finisher. We should be looking only to him. Hallelujah. Let me just read two more things for you here. Okay. Psalm 23, verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen? Amen. This can't be true of you if you don't let him lead you. He can only lead you if you let him. If you're looking to him to follow. Amen. And then just want to read this one more time as we close here tonight. Ephesian church age, he says, there was no one with him when he trod the fierceness of the wrath of the fiery furnace. It was not another, but it was him who hung on the cross and gave his blood. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega of our salvation. We are a spouse to him and not another. We don't belong to the church. We belong to him. His word is law. Creeds and dogmas and bylaws and constitutions have no effect on us. Yes, it is Jesus alone who walks in the midst of the churches. It is God in her willing and doing of his good pleasure. Never forget that. You have only one relationship to God, and God has only one relationship to you, and that is Jesus and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Brother, sister, I hope I never get to the place where I come to church and I just dismiss what is being said by, I've heard that before. Or I hear a tape, or I read something in the Bible and go, yeah, I've heard that before. I know this. I've listened to this. I've read this already. That would mean my experience is stale. Even if I've heard something a dozen times, he makes it fresh and new and living and present and real. And teaches me and leads me and guides me and perfects me. But we must make him first in all things. He's the prince. He's the captain. He's the leader. It's like that story that Brother Branham told about the firemen, right? The Jeffersonville Fire Department versus the Louisville Fire Department, I believe it was, right? Where the Jeffersonville Fire Department, the chief stood back and he said, yeah, boys, just squirt a little water here, squirt a little water there, right? You know the story. And then the Louisville department showed up, he said, and the chief was out in front of the top of the ladder, jumping on top of the building and said, here we go, follow me. He is our captain. He is our prince. He is our leader. He is with us. He goes before us. But we have to keep our eye on him. And let him perfect our faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here once again tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you just bless, Lord, what you put on my heart tonight, Father. Somehow I pray you just speak to your children, Lord. Lord, I'm frail, not able to adequately express your word, Lord, but I pray that somehow your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just speak to every heart tonight. Lord, and make it real, Father. Make it live, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father. Lord, as the time grows short, oh God, to press in, Lord. To not be satisfied with where we are, oh God. Lord, if not for ourselves, for someone else, Lord. For someone that needs to get born again. Someone that needs to get delivered. Someone that needs to get healed, God. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we've just come into church, Father, so casually, Lord, and not really pressed in, Lord, not really sought you, oh God. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for those shortcomings. Lord, help us, I pray, Father. Lord, I want to be in a fire filled church, oh God. Lord, where we're in expectation every service, wondering what you're going to do, oh God. How your spirit is going to move and what wonderful things are going to happen, Lord. I want to live in that kind of expectation, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be a lukewarm, Father. I don't want to be coming to service out of form or ritual or duty, oh Lord. Just stacking one service after another, one week, next service. But God, taking each service as an opportunity, Lord, to meet with you, Lord. To create the type of atmosphere, Lord, supercharged with faith, where babes can come in and get born again. Oh, God. I just love you tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for choosing even me, Lord. I don't know why, but I thank you. As the song says, I don't know why Jesus loved me, but I'm so glad you do. I'm so glad you do. Pray you just bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Father. Thank you for each one of them, Lord, their faithfulness to you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. Just pray that you just bless him, Lord. Lord, put on his heart, oh God, for the next service, exactly, Lord, what you want said to us, Lord. We'll receive it that way, Lord. We'll believe that it's coming from you. Because that's what we're praying for, Lord. And that's how you move and that's how you operate in your church. And we believe it, Lord. I pray that you'd bless him, Lord. Give him strength. Bless his wife, Sister Baker, Lord, and his family, Lord. Even as Satan would attack him and come against him. I pray that you would keep a hedge about him and bless him, Father. And everyone in this church, Father, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. Help them, Father. Guard them against the lukewarmness of Laodicea. Set them on fire, oh God. Every home, every family that's represented here tonight, oh God. Every household, oh God. May it be consecrated to you in a greater way. Lord, where your angels are pleased to come and go as they please, and where they mount guard duty, Lord God, over every home and every family. Lord, may every family create an atmosphere, Lord, where your Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. Where demons flee and Satan has no place and no opportunity to come in and sow lies and sow discord, oh God. Thank you, Father. I pray that for everyone in this church, oh God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise, Lord. We want to walk out of this age, oh God. We want to step into eternity singing praises of victory. Singing about how great our God is. How mighty are His deeds. How mighty is His works in His church. We are not a defeated church, but we are overcomers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just love you tonight. Lord, you're the author. We thank you for it, Lord. We submit to you. We surrender to you, Lord. We give you honor and glory and praise, and we surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just worship Him here tonight just for a few minutes? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's just lift our hands to Him tonight. Just worship Him. He's the author of your faith tonight. The only reason why you're living is because He's given you life. Surely He's worthy of your praise tonight. Surely He's worthy of thanksgiving and honor and glory. Whatever we can give Him tonight. The sacrifice of praise. Surely He's worthy of it tonight. Let's honor Him. Let's praise Him. He's our honored guest, the King of Glory. Oh, worship Him tonight, brother, sister. Press through the weariness of the age tonight and just honor Him tonight. My future and life is worth the living just because. Hallelujah, let's worship Him here. Hallelujah, He's the author tonight. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh, I'm just thankful that He lives tonight. Hallelujah. And He's given new life to His children. Thank You, Lord. All fear is gone. We don't have to fear any demon of hell tonight. Because I know, yes I know, He holds. Amen. He's the author of my future. And life is worth the living just because. Oh, He's alive tonight. Amen. He's alive in our hearts. Alive.